You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
From our studio to yours, this is Various Artists.
Ahi ahi mare e, tēnā koutou katoa, ko mea tōku ingoa.
Ko Sophia tōku ingoa, nō mai haere mai ki Various Artists mō tēnei wiki. This week is the Aotearoa Art Fair, quite possibly the busiest week in the year
for arts.
It's been crazy. This is your first art fair, any
thoughts? Oh my god, it was. Yeah, we both went to the opening last night.
We did.
I have never even been to one. Very overwhelming, but in a good way. Like, there's a lot to see and people to see and art to see, but I think it was really beautiful having all these people in the same space.
Yeah, it's nice to see so many people show up for art.
Yeah, no, it was wonderful. So we've got a whole bunch of interviews, but also be sure to go check it out.
Yeah, please do. If you haven't already got your ticket, go get your ticket, head on down to the fair. But we spoke to some gallerists ahead of the fair and curator Becky Hemis of Current Art Magazine about the Horizons Emerging Artist Sector at the fair. Gallerist we spoke to was Peggy Robinson of Pig Gallery, Billy Bartney-Knees of William Austin Gallery, Victor Kravchenko and James Stevens of Nasher Gallery in Sydney, Melanie Roger of Melanie Roger Gallery, and Sarah Hopkinson of Coastal Science Gallery. A whole list of people to get through and a lot of art to talk about, so we're going to get straight into it.
Yes, hea aha o whakara. We would love to hear your thoughts on these pieces, as always. So tōku patuhi mai, you can text us on 5395 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5 5
the show, kawa e ware ware e ahe ana koutou, te whakarongo ki e nei kōrero anō hei pakihere roki roki mārongei, te pai toku toku o Irirangi Pōho, me haere ki 95BFM irakati.com. You can catch all of these chats and more by podcast on the 95BFM website, 95BFM.com.
What's it all for?
Various artists.
Pig Gallery is a Pōneke-based contemporary art gallery. Having opened late last year by Peggy Robinson, the gallery has a values-led approach to contemporary gallery practice, operating through a framework which weaves together artistic practice, trust, and a shared vision when working alongside artists. At the Aotearoa Art Fair this year, the gallery is presenting a selection of works by Ed Batts, Hannah Valentine, and Ben Pine. I caught up with gallery founder and director Peggy Robinson about Pig's kaupapa, their first few months as a gallery, and their presentation at the fair this year.
Kia ora. My name is Peggy Robinson. I've been working in the arts for about a decade and opened Pig Gallery in November last year. So it still feels pretty fresh, but we're actually also coming up to 6 months. So it's kind of one of those things, holding the newness but also being really conscious of how time is just racing past. Mm. The gallery is in a really beautiful spot on Kewa Street. It's behind the old Fidel's, where Fidel's used to be, and it's a big kind of industrial warehouse type building that was built in 1907. So the building's nearly 120 years old. It's got this lovely kind of light, and it's a really big space, and it has a lovely big kind of open roller door with a dockway that really welcomes from the street, even though it's set back. So it's been a really fun kind of opportunity to bring some life back into this building that's been here for so long, kind of stoically tucked back off the street. And the visitors and the artists have been really enthusiastic about this, and we've had lots of excitement and joy in having a new art space in the city. Yeah, I think Wellington is a city that I've come to really care about. I actually studied up in Tamaki at Elam and moved down here about 9 years ago, and the city's got a really special arts community. You know, Aotearoa in general, we're really lucky to have a beautiful arts community, but here in Pōneke, it's really community-minded, and particularly like within the private gallery sector, there's lovely interrelationships between the galleries and just a lot of support and enthusiasm out there for new spaces and new projects. So it's been really gorgeous. I felt really welcomed, and feels like this is the city that this space needed to kind of come to life in. Yeah, I don't know, it's still all really new, and just kind of really taking each day and each exhibition and each relationship as it comes. But so far it's been lots of fun and lots of really generous and warm energy around the space.
Yeah, beautiful. As you said, you opened Pig Gallery really recently, just late last year. Prior to that, you were a gallery manager for 7 years. Stepping into now being a gallery owner, how have you found the transition, and what were the qualities you wanted to bring into that with Pig?
It's been really satisfying. In my last role, I was working with such a beautiful team, and we actually did, you know, we all shared a lot of the responsibility. So in some ways, it hasn't felt like a huge change. Like the way that I'm holding relationships with artists still feels really similar, you know, where you do kind of like lead that relationship and become a support and a sounding board and almost like a resource for the artist, someone to rely on. One thing that I've found perhaps the most daunting but also the most exciting about having this space that I guess I'm kind of tethering my name to in a way that like demands leadership and accountability is really putting my kind of moral compass, or what's a better way of saying it, you know, the values that I uphold, putting them out there in a public way and being held accountable to them and really embodying the things that I hope to see in art spaces and in the future of what dealership spaces can look like, because they are a really vital part of the arts ecology and how artists are able to generate income for themselves and support their practices. You know, the ability to have someone who's your advocate and who's, you know, building those relationships with your audience and finding homes for your mahi, but also challenging some of the traditions of these spaces. And, you know, particularly I think a lot of people have, there's like a barrier to entry with commercial spaces and feeling a little bit like they can be intimidating spaces or that they're not always the most kind of inviting, welcoming spaces. So really trying to find ways to make people feel welcome and like they are a part of this community here, and that this space is serving a really broad range of people and, yeah, any kind of presence and kōrero and engagement with the space is like welcome and exciting.
Yeah, beautiful. It's so lovely to hear, I guess, a little bit more about that kind of curatorial vision or kaupapa of PEG. I guess with that, what qualities and artworks are you drawn to as a gallerist?
This is such a challenging question. I've been asked this a few times. It's hard to articulate because I think a lot of it kind of is a guttural thing. You know, you just find this connection to work, and, you know, you're anyone who's been around a lot of artwork, you know that experience of excitement and joy when you see work that just does kind of light a fire in you. I am trying to make sure that I'm, you know, for me, a really big priority is if I'm working with an artist or I'm inviting them into the space, is making sure that I feel I'm the right advocate for the work. Mm. Because I'm here and I'm going to be the one who's the voice for their practice, and making sure that I'm representing their work faithfully, it's important to me that, yeah, that I feel that I understand the work and that I, yeah, can be the right voice for it. Because I think there are times where perhaps, you know, like, I wouldn't be the right voice. I'm like, you know, tangata tariki, Pākehā led space, and even just being a commercial space, there are times where even though there's work that I really love, like perhaps, you know, this isn't the right place for it to end up. But I do think, generally speaking, my bias is like towards work for the storytelling, that kind of conceptually driven practices, but also, you know, this kind of something that is enfolding the viewer into the work and kind of inviting them into a kind of knowledge sharing storytelling, which can look like so many different things, but I think ultimately reflects the way that the artist is thinking and the material outcome in relationship to their the development of their practice and how they want to articulate themselves in their story.
And PEG will of course be at the Aotearoa Art Fair showing a selection of works by Ed Batts, Hannah Valentine and Ben Pine at its booth. Can you tell me a bit about who you'll be showing at the fair and why you selected these artists?
Sure. So as with most kind of group shows here, the kind of grouping formed quite organically. Ed Batts and Hannah Valentine are two artists that I've had the pleasure of working with previously, and they have actually kind of talked a little bit about like collaborative working in the past, and so we kind of had this ongoing idea of bringing their practices together, and I felt that the fair was a really lovely place to showcase that, and we ended up bringing Ben Pine's book into the mix because his approach to material and thinking about spaces and architecture and the home all kind of felt like they really beautifully intertwined. And I was really excited to, I'm hoping to work with more ceramicists, and really admire Ben's practice. So the kind of the grouping had formed, in a reasonably organic way. And I think in some ways it feels like the perfect fit for PEG at the fair because, you know, one of my big hopes in attending the fair so early on in this journey of it being a gallery is trying to bring a little bit of that like warmth and kaupapa that we've been growing down here in the gallery up to Tamaki, and just introducing myself, the artists, and the energy of the space. And I think this booth, the focus is really about the home, but in the sense that the works, all of these artists, the studios are in their home environment, and the works have emerged from that kind of place of kind of domesticity and comfort and that intimate things that we kind of come up against in our home life, you know, the nature outside, what we're looking at through the windows, the colour of the walls, all of those beautiful things that kind of form the picture of our homes kind of have bled into the works. And the works also have a relationship to domesticity and their outcome, you know, where Hannah's works almost have a feeling of like adornment or have a relationship to jewellery and object in a really interesting way. They have impressions of, you know, the nature in her backyard, leaves and little flowers and things like this, and you know, hazelnuts and all these gorgeous little details. And Ben has produced these stunning porcelain lamps and table lamps and wall lamps and floor lamps. And, you know, they're these objects that kind of are calling out to be in the home and they're of the home. But they also reflect his like incredible sensibility for architecture and design and these kind of really interesting industrial processes that create ultimately an incredibly intimate feeling work. And then the work of Ed Batts that we're including is a coffee table. So it'll be the third ever coffee table that Ed Batts has made, and the first one made entirely from scratch, as he's just been in recent years undertaking woodworking and carpentry, working for a company down here in Pōneke, and such a beautiful coffee table. And it's that kind of idea of art is everywhere and art can be everywhere and should be everywhere, and why not have a coffee table that's an artwork and that has got this kind of like the energy of the artist embedded into it and kind of those everyday objects that we're interacting with coming alive with the intentions and the energy of the artist that made them. So I'm hoping that the booth will have this lovely warm feeling to it, that people feel really welcome and that they can come in and make themselves at home and get up close to the work. We're also working with Alto Paint, who are the paint sponsors to Sphere, but I work with them down here in Pōneke, so it felt perfect to have some of their paint on the walls up there as well, because that's what I'm surrounded by every day, and they're a gorgeous company to work with. And really fortunate to have the sponsorship of Studio Atelier, who are the furniture sponsor for the Sphere, but they have contributed towards my booth specifically. And again, it's kind of like a perfect fit for the booth, because they're all about, you know, bringing to life and bringing that care into your living environment. So yeah, that's the kind of ambition of the booth. Obviously, I'm just really excited to get up there and kind of be present in Auckland and see new and old faces and just spend some time with the community up there and share that good energy of the Pōneke arts community.
There was Pōneke-based director of Peg Gallery, Peggy Robinson, speaking to me ahead of the Aotearoa Art Fair, which is on this weekend at the Viaduct Event Centre. The presentation is located at booth 41 upstairs, so check it out while you're there.
Only positive critiques. Honest.
Various artists.
William Austin is another Pōneke-based commercial art gallery directed by Billy Bartley Knees. Recently having shifted from Envy to William Austin, the gallery champions work that feels raw, urgent and personal as a reflection of both the world and the artist simultaneously. At the Aotearoa Art Fair this year, William Austin's presentation brings an intergenerational presentation of artists, placing the practices of Hariatarua Patatanga Hoi, Anna Sisson, Rangi White and Julian Hooper in conversation with one another. I spoke with Billy Bartley Knees about the gallery as a whole and their presentation at the fair this year.
Hey, I'm Billy Bartley Knees, owner or director of William Austin, formerly Envy. Had the gallery in a sort of, yeah, some sense for almost 5 years now, but in the current space just since the start of this year.
How would you kind of describe the curatorial vision or kaupapa of William Austin, and how has that kind of taken shape or evolved over the last 5 years?
Well, I guess I moved back from overseas around like 2020, so I guess the kaupapa or like sort of visions, I'd say kind of been consistent, but like it's kind of changed a little bit. I guess when I first opened, I was showing like quite a few artists from overseas, just sort of as I didn't know as many people here. But more recently, I guess I've like shown predominantly just Kiwis or New Zealand Aotearoa artists. And I guess that's like mainly down to sort of, yeah, getting to know more people here, and then also sort of freight costs are just so expensive now. And like logistically, being able to show like artists from New York and Australia and stuff is not something you can do like all the time, because trying to pay rent as well. But I guess like the vision is, I guess, yeah, just things. Artists that I kind of respond to, I like work that's sort of quite rough or like not polished, and I guess work that revolves around sort of the everyday, but you can kind of see someone's sort of story within that, or how they see the sort of world and how that might have changed their sort of thinking or identity or yeah, all that sort of thing.
I guess with that, the gallery recently had a bit of a rebrand with it moving into a new space on Willis Street and changing its name from MV to William Austin. Can you talk to me a little bit about this shift? Has this change shifted the gallery's vision at all, or what feels different about entering this new era for the gallery?
Yeah, I guess when I changed to the new premise, I just thought I was thinking about the MV name, and I thought, yeah, the old gallery was quite suited to that MV sort of project, and now with sort of more formal representation of artists, yeah, I guess the name change just sort of seemed to make sense, and the MV name was quite divisive, like a lot of people liked it, and then, you know, a lot of people kind of hated it too. And, well, I guess my job is, yeah, to like sort of focus on the art and having a name that sort of a lot of people seem to ask questions about and maybe don't like it, sort of is kind of counterproductive to the job that we're trying to do, is support the art itself and not, you know, so I kind of just wanted a name that would kind of fall away a bit more, if that makes sense.
Hmm, for sure. You mentioned, of course, a bit earlier, a little bit about the Wellington art scene, and I guess we're speaking to you from Tāmaki, and I guess I'm interested to know, how does the kind of Pōneke arts community influence the way that you operate and present your gallery?
Yeah, I guess all the galleries here are, like, proximately quite close together, so I think that's, or it, like, builds quite a like, nice community. Like, most galleries pretty much know everyone from all the other galleries in some sort of sense. And, yeah, I think it's just that sort of community sort of thing that comes out of, like, a smaller city. A lot of the artists I show are actually more Tāmaki-based. I show a few Wellington artists, but I think that's all just down to sort of friend groups and people I sort of met when I first opened. And having that sort of coming back from overseas, I wanted to show artists that sort of didn't necessarily already show in Wellington, to get, you know, to have sort of a new edge or something new to give to Wellington also. And yeah, there was already two other long-standing artist-run galleries there when I first opened, and I guess I wanted to have a gallery that didn't sort of compete with them. But yeah, obviously it's now moved into a commercial realm.
And William Austin is, of course, showing at the Aotearoa Art Fair this year as part of the Futures Sector, highlighting emerging galleries and artist-run spaces. You're showing an intergenerational presentation of artists Hariata Ropata, Tanga Hoe, Rangi White, Anna Sisson, and Julian Hooper. Would you like to speak a little to your booth this year and who you'll be showing?
Yeah, I'll be showing those four artists who are all now gallery-represented artists. I think why each artist has a very unique sort of outlook in their practice, and all the works sort of look different. I'm hoping that when they all come together at the art fair, you'll be able to kind of see sort of linkages within those people's quite unique voices as well, and that sort of the gallery sort of overalls program and sort of ideas will be quite hopefully come through within that presentation. Like I said before, like artists who sort of deal with sort of personal identities and histories and sort of their own sort of takes on the world and how all that sort of plays out in different sort of ways to each person, I think would be quite exciting to see. And then I think it'd be nice having some older works by Hareata alongside sort of younger Māori artists such as Rangi White, who, yeah, have this sort of quite, I guess, yeah, quite sort of punchiness to their work. And yeah, Rangi's work sort of plays with a lot with sort of the state and sort of kind of jokes within that as well, and sort of colonialism, and I think hopefully it should all look good together.
I'm sure it will.
But yeah, come visit us at booth 48 upstairs at the Viaduct Event Centre.
That was director of Pōneke-based gallery, William Austin Gallery, Billy Bartley-Knees, speaking to Soph ahead of the Aotearoa Art Fair. You can check out their presentation upstairs at booth 48.
Oh, that's a good art!
Nasha is a Sydney-based gallery co-founded by artists and longtime collaborators Victor Kravchenko and James Stevens. The gallery, established in 2022, focuses on the showcasing of emerging artists, creating space for early career artists, championing them and their practices. At the Aotearoa Art Fair this year, Nasha Gallery presents a solo presentation of new works by Mark Morangi Carroll, a beautiful presentation of paintings that navigate tensions between order and disruption, figuration and abstraction. I caught up with gallery directors of Nasha, Victor and James ahead of the fair about the gallery as well as their presentation at the fair.
So I'm James Stevens and that's Victor Kravchenko. And we're from Nasha Gallery in Sydney. We're in Haymarket in Chinatown in Sydney. We've been here for about maybe 2 years almost at this point.
Wonderful. And could you tell me a little bit about how the gallery got started?
Definitely. We both went to art school and wanted to be artists. but weren't very good at it. But we kind of knew what good art was. And we started off doing almost pop-up exhibitions in 2020 and moving around to a few semi-permanent locations with a cohort of artists that we thought were making interesting and international, you know, universally important work that weren't getting shown or seen. And 2 years ago, we moved to a permanent home in Chinatown and have been growing together with that cohort of artists.
Wonderful. And how would you guys describe the curatorial vision and kind of like the ethos of the gallery?
Well, we'd like working with, you know, young artists who are sort of at the very beginning of their career. When we started, we had a group of about maybe like 8 to 10 artists that we had seen and knew sort of personally, some of them. And they weren't getting a shot with the galleries in Sydney because it's a huge risk to take on early career artists. And, you know, you might have a sellout show, but it barely pays the bills, barely pays rent, and, you know, you barely keep the lights on. That's the nature of showing someone at the start of their career, and it's hard for, you know, an established gallery to do that. And we were young and pretty lean. We had very few expenses in our personal lives. We have expensive taste, but that's fine. We sort of were at the right stage in our lives where we could do that and sort of weather the sort of first 10 years or 8 years or whatever of that and grow with these artists. And it's worked, you know, it's been wonderful.
And how has the gallery evolved and shifted over the years?
We have become a lot more focused and trying not to do too much. We realise it has to be sustainable and we're here for a long time. So we're really trying to, especially this year, give a lot more time for exhibitions, you know. And we, like, following the ethos, as you said, we're really trying to show that Australian art does stand up internationally, that the art that our artists make should be seen everywhere. And the gallery has become a lot less chaotic. We've become a lot more organized and I don't know, it's been...
we bought a day planner.
Yeah, we've got diaries now. We've got a calendar that we follow, a very organized Google Drive.
Wonderful. And you are showing works by Mark Mourangi Carroll for the Aotearoa Art Fair. Do you want to speak a little bit to his overall practice?
Yeah, certainly. Mark's a wonderful artist. We found him. He'd finished art school, I think, about 7 years before we started working with him, and he was just in his bedroom experimenting and sort of developing his practice. And it's a really interesting process. He trained as a printmaker at the National Art School, but he was always sort of painting alongside that. And his process is he makes the paintings from the reverse side and like staining them through the back. And so what is presented, you know, what is presented was once the back of the painting. He turns them around and then stretches them over the bars. And that's reminiscent of traditional Cook Island fabric dyeing methods, which he learned from his aunt.
It does mean the paint is just sitting in between the fibres. You know, a lot of an overarching theme of his work is memory and ontology, and because he does work from an archive of photographs of the Cook Islands and then his own photographs as well as memory. So it's this overlaying of three times and three spaces and temporal spaces, and you get the final image. And it is a really unforgiving process because you are working in reverse. Like, the finished product is quite, the artworks themselves, they are quite ephemeral and gentle, but it's very laborious. He's using angle grinders. He's burnishing the linen to control the flow of paint. It's almost like an alchemical process. It's very magical once you see the finished result. And you do need to see them in person. You know, they really need to be digested. They need to be walked around. They need to be looked at from dead on and then from the sides as well, because they really do change like memory of home does.
Gorgeous. And what specific works of his are you showing for the art fair? Is this a new body of work or kind of some past works?
It's a whole new body of work. So it's really quite exciting. Mark has had a very busy last few years, really. You know, he's just finished Adelaide Biennial curated by Ellie Buttrose, and this is a whole new body of work he's produced after that. It's called Tree for a Jungle. That's the title of the body of work. You know, they're not a linear narrative, this body of work. They are images, they're vignettes of a whole picture. It's an inversion of the phrase of can't see the forest from the for the trees. So he is going little vignettes that then transform into the bigger picture. And he's talking about how you can't look at history or culture or diaspora in a whole sense. You only see it through constructed fragments.
Great. And did you want to speak a little bit to the decision behind showing these works by Mark for the Aotearoa Art Fair? Was there a specific conversation or connection that you wanted to create in showing his work in this context of the Aotearoa Art Fair?
We brought Mark's work with us to the Aotearoa Art Fair. I think it was 2023 that we participated. We bought Mark's work, Simone Griffin's, and Drew Connor Holland. And the audience really resonated with the stories that Mark was telling in his work and the connection to Cook Islands. And it just made sense for us to return to the fair in 2026 with a solo presentation. Since that fair, we've decided, the one that we participated in 2023, we've decided to treat art fairs like solo exhibitions and only take one artist and have them create an entirely new body of work. And often we rehang the booth each day so the story changes. And all the works, you know, created for the fair are able to be shown irregardless of whether or not they've sold. You know, some galleries might swap out all the sold works at the end of the day for the next day. We sort of don't typically do that. It's more about the narrative.
So considering, you know, that Mark's, all the figures that Mark's paints are anonymous, you know, so they're just carriers of memory. So it is, his work is relevant anywhere, but particularly so I feel in New Zealand. And every time we'll have a solo exhibition or works available by him, people miss out by the time they reach out to us from New Zealand, the collectors, their institutions, they reach out. So we really wanted to just bring a body of work made purely for there.
That was co-founders of Nasha Gallery, Victor Kravchenko and James Stevens, speaking to me ahead of the Aotearoa Art Fair. You can check out their presentation of Mark Morangi Carol at booth 22. So be sure to check that out and we'll be right back.
Wow, we get along so well. I feel like I've known you my whole life.
I know, it's crazy. I'd love to see you again.
Sorry, I just have to ask. Your hoodie is so random. What is 95 BFM?
Oh, I knew this was too good to be true.
What? Wait, where are you going?
No!
Show the world exactly who you are with our range of classic 95 BFM merch. From the BSA slogan t-shirt to ringer tees and hoodies, get yours now at twotonesmerch.co.nz.
Once a week, on Saturday morning, a door in the 95 BFM studio appears. If you walk through that door, past the old posters, past the hanging vines, birds in their nests, and old 95 BFM merch, you'll come to a waterfall. And at the top of that waterfall is the Saturday Spring.
The Saturday Spring with Karen Hay. Chats, tunes, and everything you need to dive into the weekend. Saturday mornings, 9 till 11. Only on 95 BFM.
Okay, Meadow, we can't lose again, or it's off to the factory. Go, Meadow, go! No, other way! Don't you want to live?
Gonna get there, good horse! Headway wins the Spring Cup!
Oh, no, Meadow. I won't let them take you, Meadow. We'll find a way. I just saw a documentary about a basketball-playing Labrador. Maybe you can learn an unconventional sport too.
Pony Ping Pong with Matt and Aaron, bringing as much entertainment to your Friday night as a Shetland pony skee-balling the table edge. With a mix of mash downs, candid conversation, cheap shots, and mystery celebrity nakedness. Pony Ping Pong, Friday, 9 till 11 p.m, only on 95 BFM.
Various artists, so you can go to the opening for more than just the snacks.
Melanie Roger Gallery is a Tāmaki-based gallery located on Karangahape Road. The gallery has worked with and represented established and early career artists for over 15 years. For the Aotearoa Art Fair, the gallery is presenting two separate presentations, one a solo exhibition by Arts Foundation laureate Rangi Kipa, and the other a curated group exhibition of work by women artists. I caught up with director Melanie Roger ahead of the fair and about their presentation.
Kia ora, Sophia. Thank you for having me here. Melanie Roger Gallery is based at 444 Karangahape Road. We have been there for about, I think it's about 8 years now. And the gallery itself has been going, I think it's 17 years now. I'm finding it hard to keep track. Yeah, so we are based in the, you know, the heart of the sort of the arts district in Auckland, which is fantastic. We've got lots of great neighbours around there and a really great community.
Yeah, beautiful. I guess to kind of introduce the gallery a little bit more, how would you describe the curatorial vision of the gallery and how has that taken shape or evolved over the years?
We work with consistently with about 20 artists, but there's quite a number of sort of other people that we sort of work with, and I guess on a bit more of a guest and project basis. Sometimes that is part of a group show, you know, sort of a curatorial sort of group show, which, you know, we have a couple coming up, for instance, in the next couple of months, one straight after the art fair and then one for Mata. But the artists that we work with consistently, we definitely have a, I think, a strong focus on painting, people do say. But that said, you know, we also have some fantastic, you know, photographic artists, some people working across sculpture, textile-based work, and, you know, sort of more object-based work, you know, such as people who are making pottery.
Melanie Roger Gallery is, of course, showing at the Aotearoa Art Fair. This year, the gallery will host two separate exhibitions. On the Thursday and Friday, a solo exhibition by Rangi Kipa, and on the weekend, a curated group exhibition of work by women. Would you like to speak a little to the artists you've selected for your booth's exhibition schedule this year?
Yeah, it's really exciting. It's actually the first time that we have done a solo booth at the fair, so it's quite a big deal for me. I'm mildly nervous but very excited at the same time, not going to lie. Rangi is an artist whose work I have long admired, and it's a huge honour to be able to work with him and present his work at the fair. It's his first time actually showing at the Aotearoa Art Fair as well, which is really exciting. So a lot of Rangi's work is, he works in the public realm quite a lot, you know, sort of larger sort of scale public works. He works in co-design. You know, he's just worked with the teams down in Wellington on Tanakau Square and the Wellington City Library, for instance, just as some of the most recent projects, but, you know, there's a lot more like that. He'll be doing a talk with Zoe Black from Object Space, discussing some of this actually at the fair on Friday. So yeah, we're really excited to be presenting his works. So Rangi will be presenting a combination of his whalebone sculpture works. So they're very intricately carved taonga that he's made. We've got four pieces. They are really quite spectacular. They are something that he, you know, has worked, you know, with consistently throughout his practice, but they're very rarely seen sort of in the public realm in this way, and very, very rarely available to the public. You know, they're incredibly special, to be honest. And then from there, he's also presenting a suite of photographic works which include his own taonga in those images presented within the Taranaki landscape, you know, so looking at his own whenua as well.
Beautiful. And would you be able to speak a little bit to the artists you're showing over the weekend as well?
Yeah, so on the weekend we are showing, we're doing a curated group exhibition of work by seven artists. We have, I'll get them in order alphabetically, we have Georgia Arnold, Kathy Barry, Emma Fitz, Henrietta Harris, Layla Rudneva Mackay, Sarah Smuts Kennedy, and Rebecca Wallace. Henrietta Harris has been down at Whakapapa and the Mount Ruapehu ski fields at the moment, which of course are pretty empty of snow. So she's been working down there as the first creative sort of in residence, looking at the landscape, but also looking at the way that climate change has really affected both the landscape itself as well, the sort of the region economically, so the people. It's sort of playing into sort of what she's been sort of researching and looking at, which is, I think, really interesting. So she's been sketching in the landscape and making watercolours, and those will be presented as oil paintings at the fair. They're really beautiful. They sort of carry on from a residency that she did in Iceland years ago. There's a couple of the artists that will be presenting for the first time at the fair, which is really exciting. They're artists that we have worked with before, however, so that's, yeah, Layla and Kathy, Sarah Smuts-Kennedy, Rebecca Wallace, and Georgia Arnold, who's making some really stunning new works, carrying on from the work that she made for us as a solo show at the end of 2025.
I guess with your program that you've got for the fair, how does the gallery's program reflect your curatorial interests that you spoke about before, and I guess the gallery's overall kaupapa?
Yeah, I am known for, I think, supporting, or the gallery is known for supporting women artists, and for me that's really important. I remember reading, it was years ago now, probably about 10 years ago, that they were sort of saying about, you know, sort of dealer galleries and or commercial galleries, independent galleries, whatever you want to call them, not supporting women enough. And look, it's a tricky one because ultimately we don't get funding from other people. So ultimately it's up to hopefully collectors, you know, to also support women.
Mm.
I think that's really important. But, you know, that first step is actually, you know, being able to actually support those artists to make work and to support those artists to show work and get it in front of audiences, you know, which at the art fair, you know, the Aotearoa Art Fair, will have a really good opportunity for a lot of people to see these works and see, you know, how wonderful they are, you know, which we know. So we're really looking forward to presenting those.
I guess that ties in quite nicely. I think the fair's really brilliant for people who, I guess, are in this mythical thing called the art world, but also people who are a little bit more new to it. I guess for you, what's your take on the fair's value in connecting galleries, artists and audiences?
Yeah, I think the fair can be for everybody. You know, as you say, you know, the art world can come along and we can all connect up with, you know, all of our colleagues and, you know, see it all, you know, a lot of art that, you know, you might not have the opportunity to see elsewhere or easily elsewhere. Particularly sort of out-of-town galleries coming in or overseas galleries coming in. It's very collegial, which is fantastic. You know, we've got a really lovely neighbourhood where we are, for instance. But I also think that, you know, you don't have to know a huge amount about art to come to the art fair. You can just come along and, you know, and you'll see a lot of art in one place, you know, at one time, which is amazing. I have actually written a survival guide. I should have brought that down with me.
Oh, we need this.
It's online.
We'll link it.
Oh, please do. It's really good. But yeah, you don't need to know an enormous amount. Gallerists are there to talk with you. You know, we want to, you know, engage with you. This is what we love doing. You know, we want to present, you know, the things that the passion that we have for the art world. And we hope that you'll be interested in it too. You know, for artists, it's a huge amount of visibility. I think there's 10,000 people that come through the fair, you know, so for us, you know, it's a chance for a lot of people to see work in one go. You know, it's never the same as seeing it in a gallery, though, I'll be honest. You know, we all pay rent on galleries all the time, and one of the things, you know, which I do really try to reiterate to people is you don't just come to the art fair, you know, come to the galleries as well. You know, get on our mailing list, come and see us, because the way that works are presented at the gallery is probably going to be more in line with how an artist wants to present work. So, yeah, there's a huge upside to the fair. We wouldn't be doing it if it wasn't. But it's also, there's a lot, you know. So, yeah, I wrote a survival guide at the end of the last fair last year, which talks about, I guess, how to get your best experience out of the fair. And I think it's really useful. I genuinely do think everyone should read it.
We will link the survival
thank
guide.
Thank you. I think
you're
you
welcome.
Should. Yeah. Yeah.
That was Melanie Roger of Melanie Roger Gallery speaking to me about their presentations at the Aotearoa Art Fair this weekend. You can check the gallery out at booth 33.
Only positive critiques. Honest.
Various artists.
Coastal Signs is a Tamaki-based gallery directed by Sarah Hopkinson. The gallery takes on this unique approach to gallery making by leaning into it through this lens of collaboration. The gallery and all eight of its artists form an unofficial artist board, creating a gallery that is shaped by transparency, dialogue, and artist-led thinking. At the Aotearoa Art Fair this year, Coastal Signs showcases a group presentation, highlighting a handful of artists by presenting strong pieces that represent where the artists are currently at. A new two-element archival print by Shannon Te'au, two new paintings by Millie Genides, and a drawing by Emma McIntyre. I caught up with director Sarah Hopkinson ahead of the Aotearoa Art Fair about the gallery's presentation.
I'm Sarah Hopkinson. I'm the director of Coastal Signs. Coastal Signs is a contemporary art gallery, a commercial gallery. We opened 5 years ago, almost exactly.
Oh, wow.
On Anzac Ave. And last year we moved up to Kay Road, We're on the corner of Karangahape Road and East Street, and I work with 8 artists, and I guess the only sort of slightly unusual thing about Coastal Signs is that the artists that I work with also form a ropu, or like advisory board for the gallery, and yeah.
Great. And how would you describe the curatorial vision and kaupapa of Coastal Signs?
Well, I think it's very, I mean, like all good commercial galleries, it's very focused on the artist, and the program is just built around what they're doing. And yeah, they form the kind of the backbone of everything we do. It's hard to sum up. I don't think there's a curatorial connection between the artists that I work with, but I think over the years of them all exhibiting together, like, I guess, you know, there could be some through lines. I think the core, one of the things that the gallery program tries to do is to represent practices that perhaps don't fit so easily into the commercial model. And I think the core group of art, the core of the program is also, I guess, somewhat generational. Like, it is kind of my generation with some older artists and some younger artists. But I think, when I first opened my first gallery, like in 2007, you know, that was really like a super important kind of motivator for me to represent a generation, my generation of artists, my peers. And yeah, I guess that's
endured. Yeah, lovely. The gallery seems to really voice the artists that you show. You've already kind of briefly touched on it, but the gallery includes this informal artist cooperative. Do you want to speak a little bit more to this, as well as why it's important for you as a gallery director to have the artists involved within the gallery's discussions and have their voice kind of be heard at a deeper level?
Yeah, sure. So I guess from 2010 to 2019, I was a partner, director of Hopkinson Lassman, and I left that gallery in 2019, and I guess I sort of had this unasked for opportunity to, or maybe not unasked for, but surprise. It was a bit of a surprise to have the opportunity to kind of rethink what I wanted to do with my career, but also to really like ask the question as to whether I still wanted to be a gallerist. And I thought maybe that wouldn't take that long, but then COVID happened, and so I kind of got this like extra year or extra 18 months to really like chew on that. And there was a group of artists that I still wanted to work with. And during that time, when I was trying to answer those kind of bigger questions, they were the artists that I was talking to about it, because they're also mostly, I mean, not all of them, are also close friends. And so a structure that I proposed to them, which was that they would act as a conscience for the gallery, and that they would help me, basically. And with that, I think came a lot more transparency. So they see the budget, and they see how much things cost, they see how much I get paid, like they know how much has been sold and how much freight we spent on freight, and you know, all of those kinds of quite granular things that have just led to a more open and more mutual kind of understanding of what it takes to run a gallery, and also what it takes to be an artist. Like, I think that's really has been really interesting. And then, it just kind of built from there.
Yeah, lovely. And you guys have had a recent shift from Anzac Ave to Karangahape Road. How has that shift and transition felt for the gallery? And what has that shift offered and allowed for the gallery's growth?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like Anzac Ave was quite off the beaten track when I moved there. I liked that. I liked that it signalled that maybe things were a bit different with Coastal Signs. And I think not calling it Sarah Hopkinson Gallery was also another way to signal that publicly. But ultimately, you know, we are operating at a level that maybe maybe required a slightly like higher specs and a little bit more visibility, and it just kind of I got the sense it was time to make a change. And then yeah, the space came available, and I love that it's right next door to Michael and Andrew, who are good friends and colleagues, and right across from ArtSpace, and it just feels like the right sort of context for Coastal Signs. And yeah, it feels like I took some of the things that I loved about Anzac Ave and some of the things that I loved about Hopkins and Mossman's sort of fancier spaces, and yeah, tried to sort of synthesize it into this new gallery.
And do you want to speak a little bit to your booth at the Aotearoa Art Fair? Who are you showing? And if you want to speak a little bit to their individual practices?
Sure. Okay, so usually I would do solo presentations at art fairs if I can, but it wasn't a clear, I also always respond to where my artists are at. Everybody at the moment is super busy, which is awesome, and it felt more relevant or kind of appropriate to make a group presentation that almost samples like new work from larger projects that the artists are working on. So I have a new diptych by Shannon Tao. I have a suite of beautiful new paintings by Millie Genetis, which are going to her first institutional solo show in Australia after we've shown them at the fair.
Oh, wow.
And then we have a really beautiful drawing by Emma McIntyre. And that's pretty much it. There are a few other things that we may or may not include. We're just going to sort of hang the booth on the day.
Oh, I see. So it's kind of still a work in progress.
Well, this is the great thing about doing a local fair is that you have options. You can whip back up to the gallery and kind of like curate the booth based on a little bit more on the fly. Whereas like we used to regularly exhibit at international art fairs, and of course like those, you have to know exactly what you're going to show in advance. Mm. But I think for the fair, yeah, we're just like playing it a little bit more by ear. But we have some like major, obviously, kind of key cornerstone works in the booth as well. So
yeah, great. And why did you choose these specific artists and works for the booth? Was there a specific vision or perhaps like a conversation you wanted to curate within the booth?
I mean, there's definitely a vibe. Like, I think that it's an art fair booth, so there's not like a deep thematic, but there's definitely a vibe. There's like maybe a poetic or like a sensibility. But I think as well, like at the fair, particularly at the Aotearoa Art Fair, I know that it it's quite a busy context. And so if I'm not doing a solo presentation, I would typically hang quite a minimal booth to create a bit of space and a bit of like space and time for reflection and focus. And I think that, so I always sort of that guides me when I'm thinking about what to show at the fair. And then I think, yeah, just, if I'm only showing one or two works by a single artist, I want those works to be really potent, like to be really good, strong examples of where the practice is at this moment. So, that's the conversation I have with the artist, and that's kind of how we select what we're going to show.
That was Sarah Hopkinson's Director of Coastal Signs, speaking to me ahead of the Aotearoa Art Fair. You can check out their presentation at Booth 11.
Because we were feeling a little extra, a little cunty.
Something a little bit different. Facilitated by Current Art Magazine's Becky Hemis, the Horizons Emerging Artist Sector at the fair seeks to highlight new generation and emerging artists from across Aotearoa. I spoke to Becky about the booths ahead of the fair this year and the curatorial lineup.
My name is Becky Hemis. I publish a magazine called Current Art Magazine. I guess I'm sort of
overseeing the curation for Horizon. So I'm working with three other artist curators to curate their own booths, and they have a lot of autonomy over what they want to present, but I guess I'm there as kind of like a sounding board and to just support them and to figure out the best way to maybe present and work with some of the artists.
I guess for listeners who don't know, what is Horizons?
Horizons is an initiative by the Aotearoa Art Fair. I think for quite a few years, the art fair has often had a component or a few components that support emerging practices. I think for the art fair, it also adds a lot of richness to the fair and a lot of richness to visitors. Obviously, if someone is paying a lot of money for a booth, they can't necessarily afford to be experimental, even if they are working with emerging artists. So Horizons, I worked on it last year for the fair, and also this year it is supported by Chapman Tripps, and there's four booths in a section upstairs. So all together, each booth is curated by a different artist/curator, and they're very project-based. They're not just work on view to sell it and up there. The idea is really working with the emerging artists and helping them to develop something that they want to share with the public, and then hopefully make connections with people from the fair and like move their practice forward. I've worked with curators who my experience with them has been that they're just really great people and they're really fantastic to work with. The first booth is curated by Dan Arworth. So Dan is working with Evan, Pacific and Māori adornment artists, not necessarily, I would say, emerging. The idea of Horizons is sort of emerging, unrepresented, and maybe practices that the curator feels could have a renewed focus within the sphere. So seven artists, and their work is being photographed by Edith Amatu and I. So Dan has found these images. His initial idea was to photograph them like passport photos, so just like in a pharmacy, but now they are really beautifully lit. And Edith obviously brings her own incredible lens to being the photographer. But there is this simplicity to all of the photos, and that passport idea is very present, which is kind of it's like an instrument that the state often uses to decide who comes into a country and who enters. And I think at the moment, obviously, we're kind of thinking a lot about the climate in the Pacific and what will happen to these Pacific nations. And I think ideas of like nationhood feel really prescient at the moment, especially in terms of the passport. I think the way that Dan has conceived that booth is super interesting, and he's done a lot of projects before related to the head and hair, and this is an extension of that. The next booth is curated by Chevron Hassett. So Chevron is an artist who I met when he had an exhibition at Gus Fisher last year in the changing room space, and I did a video with him for Current Art magazine, and I was just really struck when we were chatting about his practice, like the way that he was talking about space, the way that he was talking about other artists' practices and how work fits into a space or shifts depending on the sphere that it is being shown in. I just wondered if he might enjoy curating a booth, so I kind of broached the idea on the fly. But yeah, we met up a month or so later and he had all of these incredible ideas. So his idea is actually to have a Hangi style presentation at the art fair. So he's working with three other artists who he knows really well. Two of them, he shares a studio with one of them. And the works will all be presented in these sort of like foil packs that look like maybe like a Hangi or a food pack. And each pack has one edition by each of the four artists. It was really important to them that all of the artists are in the same pack and the editions are all sold collectively. And they've also been working on merch, so they've got t-shirts and I think they're having special aprons that are maybe not for sale, and then there are these beautiful raffle tickets made by, like, designed by artist Lolani Delosa, and they are being sold as artworks. There also was tickets to buy these like special hangi packs from the fair. Matthew Galloway is curating another booth with Ed Ritchie and Megan Brady. Matt has kind of worked in the publishing space a little bit. He's a designer and he's worked on the National Grid, and his art practice is quite design focused. So I think that will probably be the most pared back booth. So slightly more grainy and woody, and I'm not exactly sure what Matt's going to be showing, but Ed Ritchie is the artist in residence at Tatui at the moment, and Megan has been showing works with Peg Gallery in Wellington. So it'll be really exciting to see their practices together. And then the final booth is created by me. I'm working with Nadia and Mary Church, who was an artist that I met at the Wycliffe grad show at the end of last year. We had a partnership with Wycliffe to do some photography at the event, which was super lucky because I got to spend a lot of time at the grad show and had all of these beautiful high-res photos that I could look back on. And Nadia's practice just felt really exciting. It feels slightly different to what other artists are making. And when we then met up and we chatted about her work, I just really enjoyed her energy and the way that she kind of looks forward to her practice and the way that she frames her relationships with people and her work. And so I am really excited to be showing a new body of work that she's been working on for the art fair. She's been working on it for the last kind of 4 months or so.
Yeah, I guess kind of a defining idea that each booth has focus on is what art they feel is defining the moment of now. I guess looking at the program that has transpired from this year's curators, are there any connections or lines between the four booths responding to this question that surprise you? Or
I think the joy of working on a project like this, and it's quite similar in some ways to running a magazine, is that you are curating somewhat the end result. Your voice is very present in the project, but one of the most exciting parts is not necessarily planning every element and getting to work with these incredible thinkers and artists and makers who are also curating projects, and that they can come up with the booth that they're really excited about. And so every person that you work with comes up with a completely different idea. It's kind of like with the magazine, like a writer will pitch something or a gallerist will let me know that they have a specific show on, and a writer might have been talking about a similar idea that they'd really like to write on, but we haven't quite found a show that fits with that idea. So I think that's always, like, I'm constantly surprised that the surprises are what make working in the sphere really interesting and enriching, that it's not just one voice, it's like lots of authors to the project.
Maybe just to end our conversation today, I thought it could be nice to, I guess, reflect a little bit on, I guess, where you see Horizon sitting in the wider context and programming of the fair and its value in that position.
End goal in any art system or event, I would say, is to be able to create conditions for artists to work sustainably. So whether that's getting more people into shows so that visitor numbers are up, so that galleries then get more funding, or whether it's more people buying art, speaking about it, giving art more like importance and perceived relevance in the world. Any environment that we can create for art to feel like it has that value, I think is really important. And so I feel like doing projects like this, where artists are able to be more experimental and not be working at the rims of the market necessarily, are really vital to our ecosystem, however they might take shape across art fairs, galleries, museums.
That was Current Art Magazine's Becky Hemis speaking to me about the Horizons emerging artist sector at the Aotearoa Art Fair this weekend. You can check out the booths from booth 63 to 65 upstairs.
It's the 95 BFM Art Guide on various artists. It's paintings and that.
This week in the wonderful world of art in Tamaki Makaurau. As mentioned on the show, it is the Aotearoa Art Fair this weekend. It's at the Viaduct Event Centre today from until 6 p.m, tomorrow from 11 a.m. till 6 p.m, and Sunday from 11 a.m. till 5 p.m.
There are over 60 galleries presenting at the fair, so be sure to check out the Aotearoa Arts Fair website for the full list to plan your day.
Some events at the fair we are excited for this weekend are Rangikipa Ngahuia Harrison and Chevron Hassett in conversation with Zoe Black to discuss contemporary Māori art and their individual practices is on today from 1:30 till 2:15 p.m. An entry to the panel is on a first-come, first-served basis, so head along.
Also, Ruby Wilkinson will be in conversation with host of The Good Oil, Graham Douglas, to discuss her solo presentation with Yana Miller's Bell Plain. That's on Saturday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. It's a free event to all ticket holders and does not require a RSVP.
And you can join editor of The Current and curator of the Horizon sector at the fair, Becky Hemis, on an exclusive tour of Emerging Artists tomorrow from 2:30 till 3:15 p.m. Entry to the tour is again on a first-come, first-served basis, and there's 20 spots available, so be sure to arrive early.
If you haven't already got your ticket to the fair, tickets are available on their website, artfair.co.nz.
And outside of the fair, there is still plenty of shows to head along to and check out. Newly opened this week are...
Bound Earth by Rufus Knight et al. Opens tonight at Let Thomas from 6 to 8 p.m. Also opening tonight is Revolutionary Mania by Luke Willis-Thompson at Coastal Signs, also from 6 to 8 p.m.
And to coincide with the fair this weekend, Atarangi Anderson and Georgia Tikaputini Douglas Hood will be sharing their personal insights into their joint exhibition Mo Ahua at Grace Aotearoa for an artist talk tomorrow from 10 a.m. till 12 p.m. so head along.
Also, Flush, an exhibition presented by Strawhouse, Moko Polpaki and Treadler, opened at Treadler on Wednesday and is on until the 9th of May.
And lastly, The Blue Dome by Selena Ishadi opened at Artspace Aotearoa last Friday. It's a beautiful show as well. If you have something you want on the Art Guide, you can email us at arts@95bfm.com.
That was the 95BFM Art Guide.
Ko ira te hōtaka katoa mō tēnei wiki, nei te mihi kia koutou katoa I kōrero mai ki māua mō tēnei rā.
That's all for us for various artists for today. Ngā mihi nui to everyone who spoke with us.
We'll catch you next week. You're listening to 95BFM. Ka kite.
Ka kite.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.